Welcome to Parenthood, etc.
Mommy.
Each week, we'll be talking to celebrity moms and dads about parenthood.
And so much more.
Remember, if you're going crazy, you're doing it right. Here's your host, Ashley Maleo.
Hello, hello. Thanks again to all of you who have been tuning in to listen to this show. Really quick, before we introduce our next guests, I just wanted to remind you that I started this podcast as a platform to make some new friends and hear other people's stories and have interesting conversations that can maybe be relatable to not just my own journey through life, but yours too, you know? So the show is on Instagram at Parenthood, etc. I run the account. Please feel free to DM the show account or my personal account and just let me know who you would like to hear on here and, you know, what you would like me to talk about or any ideas you may have. I want to hear from you, so don't be shy. Today, I have a mommy and a daddy on the show. I love when I have couples on. So let's say hi to Paige O'Brien Peck and her husband, Josh Peck. Hi, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you.
I'm so grateful that you're both on my show right now. I do all of the booking for this show myself, so I just wanted to take a minute to thank the beautiful Caitlin McHugh Stamos for linking us together, Paige. I wanted you guys to come on, and my only way to contact my potential guests is to basically aggressively slide in their DMs or troll them on Instagram. So I'm really thankful for her.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's so funny. She told me, she was like, I did this podcast. I think it was her first solo interview that she's done. And she was super happy about it and super excited. So we were talking about it. And then she mentioned that you had reached out. So I'm happy I found it.
Me too. I'm so glad. And yeah, she's great. Have you guys gotten your little babies together for a play date yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We hang out over. I'm actually going to see her tomorrow. We hang out all the time with the kids. And we just went to Billy's first birthday party, which was really fun. She's like super mom. She does it all. So she's always a good go-to for questions or, you know, products, anything, any questions we have. And Josh and John talk every day too. So
I remember when John and Caitlin got pregnant, and then he would like always slyly look at me and be like, you're next, bro. You're next. And I'd be like, no way, we've got plenty of time. And of course, 3 months later, we're right there with him.
Josh, I know you have your own podcast too, Curious.
Yes.
And I have to say, I love it so much. And you've had some great guests on. I really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. I'm such a big fan too, just so you know. Like I've been following you through the years. Let me tell you.
We're big Bravo fans over here, big Housewives fans.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Actually, I'm a big Housewives, Bravo, pretty much anything, Vanderpump Rules, you name it. And Josh, the only show he would watch with me was Housewives of Jersey.
Oh God, I'm like sweating now.
No, that's his favorite. That's the only one he thought was like really entertaining.
Well, I grew up in New York, and my mom and most of my extended family, they're all from North Jersey. So it was I was like, I know these people.
Oh my God. Yeah, we'll get to that then. We'll get to that. But I know that you have your YouTube channel as well. And I watched your parenting Q&A that you guys did. It was really cute. I laughed when you said something like, social life, we don't know her. And then
yeah,
Paige, you were like, oh, and also we don't want to know her.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty crazy. Like, you know, everyone always says, enjoy it now before you have kids. Like, go out as much as you can and hang out with your friends. But we, it's like you don't really have much of a social life afterwards. But again, it's like you're having so much fun. We have so much fun hanging out with him, and he's changing so much every day that we don't really want to like do other things. We don't want to go out or see anyone. We're cool staying at home and hanging out with Max and like watching the movie. So
no, I totally relate to that. And it's crazy because I feel like when you don't have kids and you look at people who have kids and how they seem like they're being clicky, you feel like, oh, am I not cool because I don't have a kid? But it's like, no, that's not it. That's not why. they're just going through the struggle together.
Yeah, exactly.
Things just change. Like, your priorities change. There's just a lot that your friends without kids just can't fully relate to. So you naturally just gravitate to your friends who have kids. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of, you know, there's been people that I feel bad, and I'm like, I just think some certain people don't get it. They're like, oh, we don't see you anymore. Or,
yeah,
you know, I don't see you as much as I used to. And I'm like, oh, I know, it's just, it's hard. Your whole schedule revolves around like when your kid is eating and sleeping. So it's hard to find time to do anything other than that, really.
I remember when the comedian Neil Brennan talked about, he was like best friends with Seth Meyers for, you know, over a decade. And then Seth Meyers' wife got pregnant and they had their kid. And Neil Brennan literally made him a goodbye video. Like, it was great knowing you. Thanks for 10 great years. But there's just no way we're going to be able to stay in touch. And it's funny, but it's weirdly true. Like, for many relationships, unless they have kids that are around the same age, it's just hard to keep up, you know?
Yeah, you get the calls like, come hang out. And it's like, I can't just leave anymore.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine from kindergarten, like one of my best friends growing up. And then I moved away and we've always kept in touch, but we don't talk very much. She got married pretty young and has two kids now. And I remember when I announced that we were having a baby, she texted me and she was like, this is not the end. Like, this is just the beginning. Don't forget that, like, this is a whole new journey that's so exciting. And don't feel like it's the end of you or your social life or whatever. She's like, it just changes. And it's not the end. It's something completely different that you can't experience unless you have a kid. And I was like, I think about that sometimes. I'm like, that's so true.
That's such a positive way to look at it. It's just a change, because I feel like sometimes those negative emotions can take over.
Like in the middle of the night when you're not sleeping and you're texting your other friends who are not sleeping. It's nice to have somebody else to text at 2 a.m.
And you look at your sleeping husband like with like rage.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I love you, but I just kind of want you to wake up right now. With his
earplugs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I found a perfect earplug that CVS offers. It's got just the right consistency. And yeah, I keep a bucket of them because you seem to always lose.
Oh, my God. Before you had a baby, what advice did you get the most? And did you take any of it?
What I would say is, people, when you're a new parent or your wife is pregnant, people give you a lot of unsolicited advice.
Oh, yeah.
And they also like to scare the crap out of you, like with this weird, like passive aggressive, sleep now, or like things are gonna change. And I remember my buddy Jeff gave me the best advice, because everyone projects onto you like the first 3 months are the worst and all this stuff. And I brought that up with him, and my buddy Jeff, who has two grown sons, said, stop it. He's like, don't even go there. You have no idea how it's going to be. It's just going to be great. You don't know the kind of kid you're going to have, if they're colicky or not, if they, you know, at 6 weeks sleep for 12 hours straight, or if they're up every hour. He's like, just don't do any of that like projection. So if now any friend of mine who's like thinking about having a kid or their, you know, wife is pregnant, I just try to say like, it's going to be great. Like, it's just, I don't know, because I don't know. It's implied that it's going to be hard.
You're like, it's going to be great. I found earplugs at CVS.
Yeah.
And
if you just know. That's true.
No,
I do
though.
Have it pretty
It
good.
Is great. Yeah. What was your baby colicky at all, or did you guys have it pretty easy with him?
No, he's pretty easy. He wasn't colicky. He, you know, every baby goes through their things. Like, there was a little time where he had like thrush for a couple weeks, and that was just annoying because it would not go away. So he was on antibiotics and all these different medicine and all these different types of medication, and that was hard because he was just so uncomfortable, and it was like eating he was uncomfortable, sleeping he was uncomfortable. So that was like a hard few weeks for us, but for the most part he's pretty easy, knock on wood.
Yeah,
he's a good little baby for sure. But yeah, he has his moments where he's like screaming in the middle of the night and for no reason, and you have no idea what it's about, and you're trying to calm him down.
It's, but, I know. And then you're so torn, right? Between like, oh, I feel so helpless, I can't help you. But then you're also like, I just want rest.
Oh,
you're
totally.
Like, I don't know what to do.
Totally. Yeah. Like our doctor was telling us this week to start, you know, if we wanted to try to start sleep training, because he's like 4.5 months ish now. And so she said, you know, like he's still waking up early, like at a 5 a.m. feeding. And she was like, you know, you can sleep train him. Like, he's not hungry. He's eating enough during the day. Like, try to just let him cry it out. So she's like, you know, it might take an hour, you know, it's fine. Like, just let him cry. So the other night I sat there for 2.5 hours while he screamed at the top of his lungs. And I was like, this is killing me. And so I finally just ran in there and just held him, and I couldn't do it for too long. It's hard. It's so hard, you know, cause I'm like, at that point you're just tired. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just hold you for a second and put you back down to sleep. Cause that was a hard, I mean, 2 hours. She told me it could take up to 2 hours. Don't worry about it. And that was a lot, especially in the middle of the night. You're so tired as it is.
Yeah.
Josh slept right through it though. So
that's
not. No, just kidding. Good. He's really good. He wakes up with him tonight in the middle of the night. He'll take the nighttime feeding. Aww. He's really helpful. Yeah.
That is helpful. That's good. A lot of dads don't do that. So that is good.
Yeah.
How was the birth experience for you?
The birth experience was good. It was crazy. You know, I went in, the baby was breached the week before, pretty much the week up until he was due. And so I could feel him every night turning in my stomach. Like, I would feel an elbow going across my stomach. Like, he was flipping down into head down position, and then he'd go back to breech, and then he was transverse. Like, I could feel it every day. He was flipping. And the doctors were telling me that he was probably going to be huge, like 9 pounds. So I was super worried because he's breech and he's huge, and I don't know if I'm, you know, what's going to happen. So she said, let's plan a C-section for Friday. But if he's head down, then we'll just induce you, because we don't want him to keep flipping, especially when he's so big. So I went in, he was head down. And so they induced me, and I was in labor for 26 hours, and I never progressed past.
Yeah, that happened to me.
Like 4 centimeters that they get you to. So then I had a C-section. I ended up having the C-section at 26 hours later. And that process I was a little scared for, but it was actually a lot smoother than I imagined. I had never had surgery before. I'm really terrified of that kind of stuff. And I was super nervous right before, but then, you know, it's like 7 minutes and the baby's out, and the rest of the time they're kind of just putting you back together, and you're already distracted because your baby's there, so you don't even really think about what they're doing. And
were you awake, like, or were you?
Yeah, totally awake. I had had an
episode. Me too.
Josh.
I was gonna say, was he in the room? Yeah,
he was, and he, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, so we wanted to be surprised.
Wow.
So when she was about to, you know, she was like pulling the baby out, she was like, all right, Josh, like drop the curtain and announce to the room what it is. And I think that he was really nervous about that, but I don't think he saw anything too crazy.
No, I was able to announce the sex right as I fainted. I do.
Oh, no.
Not just because, you know, because I'm right next to her, but I do have to applaud my wife, because for literally like the 26 hours of laboring, she was a trooper and like just grin and bearing it. And then I have to say, and I watched it all go down, when you see the doctor sort of make the decision in their head that it's time to change the plan. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that for anyone is so, it's, you know, shocking. And it's a lot to sort of take in, because within a half hour, you're lying on an operating table and they've completely changed the plan on you. But she like completely just took it in stride. And I was just in awe.
Wow. Yeah. I ended up not having a C-section, but I give so much credit to women who have, because one, the recovery time is supposed to be, you know, longer and more painful than, you know, if you went about the other way. So that, I definitely give you credit for that. And then, yeah, like you said, like that fear aspect of like all of a sudden, like you know, there's a point in your pregnancy, I think you hit where you're like, you finally start fully realizing, wow, this thing has to come out of me somehow. Right. And like both options are scary.
Right. Know? It's really scary. I think it's like, it's just unknown. Right. So
yeah,
you don't know, you hear all these horror stories. I also was silly and started watching like YouTube birthing vlogs you and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh shoot, I should not have done that. So I did get really nervous, but going into it when I was induced, I just kind of had a feeling, you know, on Friday when I went in and they were like, we're going to induce you. I asked, I was like, can we just do the C-section? Because I just have this gut feeling that this isn't going to work. Like, I don't see myself having this baby naturally. Yeah. And they're like, no, we have to try. So then I said, okay, because I trusted my doctor. So I was like, all right, whatever you think. And then of course he started to kind of turn again and he just wasn't in the right position. And so she said, I think she also said that some people's like just anatomy, your pelvis doesn't line up with the head shape or something. And she was like, yeah, I just don't think it would ever work for you. So I was like, oh, that would have been nice to figure out maybe yesterday, but it's okay. Whatever. It's fine. I'm fine.
Well, now if you guys do plan to have more, you can just, you know, schedule it. And now you're kind of prepared.
Totally.
Kind of what to expect a little bit more.
So. Yeah. I will say though, when she was like rolling me into the operating room, I'm just such a baby with that stuff. My eyes were just shut because I didn't want to see the room. I didn't want to see any, you know, tools. I didn't want to see the lights. I didn't want to see anything. She's like, are you okay? And I was just like, yeah, I'm fine. I just don't even want to open my eyes. Like, I just got to keep my eyes shut and tell me when the baby's here. Cause
you're like, no, I'm fine. You're just about to cut into me. Like, you know,
it's
no
like
big deal.
2 degrees in the room and it's just, everything was scary. And also they don't allow, your husband or wife or whatever to be in the room with you until like right before. Yeah. So you can't have anyone like any parent, anything in there with you. So they're prepping you for surgery and you're kind of surrounded by 10 doctors by yourself. It was a little scary.
Yeah, that's overwhelming.
Sure. But you know, I really liked my doctor and she did a really great job and she made me feel really comfortable. So, it was a lot easier. I'm not going to say easier. It was a lot better than I was expecting. I had prepared myself for the absolute worst of like pain and recovery. And my only advice would probably be just to walk right away when they let you, because that really helps. You know, if you sit in bed for a couple of days, I think that your recovery is a lot harder from what I've heard. So.
And my advice is steal everything from the hospital. They've got all the good stuff.
That is also my advice. Yeah.
Right? They just got like the perfectly like sized swaddles and like the single serving bottles you could throw away. It's all so excellent.
You should have seen us leaving the hospital with like duffel bags full of everything.
We brought like a bag that was just empty and I put like ice packs in it and like,
oh, good call.
I had everything.
Did you give birth in Jersey?
I did.
At St. Barnabas?
I did not, but I actually have a friend that's a nurse there. That's funny. Oh. I gave birth at Hackensack Hospital.
Okay, nice.
Is that where you were born? Were you born at St. Barnabas?
No, I have, you know, I've got connections to good old St. Barnabas.
Okay.
My mom was a candy striper there in 1963. I was born in the city in New York at Cornell.
Oh, wow.
Paige?
Speaking of New Jersey, just to bring it back to Housewives, like we mentioned earlier, Paige, I know you said you guys are fans of all the Bravo shows, Housewives, Vanderpump.
Yes, big fan.
So I was listening to an episode of Josh's podcast. I think it was the first episode with John Stamos. And Josh, you mentioned how sometimes you have people approach you who want you to be this character that they sort of grew up with, and how sometimes you feel like you can feel yourself not delivering maybe what it was they were expecting.
Yeah.
So it's funny because it's like when you guys brought up Housewives and all that, and I start getting like that nervous laugh and I start kind of like getting that cold sweat, because I feel like at least with like, it's hard to say, because on one hand, I don't have even like a fraction of the following that you have. So I don't really have it as bad, but at least you can kind of fall back on like, oh, it's a character, you know? And on a reality show, it's not necessarily a character, but like,
but it's played up, I'm sure. And there's a lot of, we have a couple friends that are on reality shows now, and their personas almost on the show, I've been like worried to meet them in real life or whatever. And I will say that almost everyone that I know from a reality show is not as extreme as they seem on their show. So
yeah, like anytime anyone's like, oh yeah, I've seen Housewives, I'm like, oh, you have? Okay, I'm gonna go in the corner now.
But you were also so young, right? Like, how old were you on the show?
Yeah, that's the other thing too. I mean, yeah, when we started filming, I was, I think, 17, and now I'm 28.
Right.
So yeah, I was on like most of the earlier seasons.
The best ones.
The best ones. Yeah,
that's true.
It was a crazy time. So it's like, it's also kind of like Josh, you were saying how people will say to you, like, you know, you've lost all this weight, and you're like, yeah, it's only been like 14 years, and people are still like, oh wow, like, you know, you lost weight, you look great. Right. And it's kind of like, to me, people are like, still, like, I'm 28 years old, I'm a mom myself now, and I'll run into people sometimes and they'll be like, you need to be nicer to your mother. And I'm like, can you go away?
Yeah.
No. Oh my God.
You're 17 years old on a TV show. They're probably like trying to find any angle they can to get you. Like, of course you're not nice to your mom when you're 17. You're a moody teenager.
But, you know, we had our moments for sure. But like, you know,
show all the nice moments. Yeah.
And if they put a camera on any teenager sowing their wild oats, like, and pass judgment on them, like, no one would be able to live it down. Like, everyone has gone through that for sure. And it makes for great television.
Well, it also, like, yes, when Josh was young, he'll say, you know, when people talk about, you know, the weight or like what he was like when he was young, partying, he's like, it just really does suck because all of my childhood is documented on television. Like, you can watch it back, which I'm sure is probably the same for you, is that you go through where you feel like, yeah, it's on TV, it's out there forever.
Anytime there's like a new season airing, they always do that like marathon, and it lasts like months because they start from like season one. They're like, in case you missed it. Oh. And then it's like, and I just get all these new, like, you know, Instagram comments or Twitter people being like, oh my God, you're such a brat.
Oh no.
Yeah.
People need to get over it.
But I was just curious though, like, back to Josh, like when you were saying, like, when certain people come up to you, like, what vibe do they give you where you feel like, okay, I have to like be this kind of character now? Like, have they just asked you to kind of quote yourself, or like, how does that happen?
Oh my gosh. And it comes in all shapes and sizes, and the majority of people are lovely. And, you know, it's a very specific thing, the medium, even if it's from what I did, which was sitcoms, or yours in reality, when people let you into their homes, there's like, mm-hmm, an extra level of intimacy. Because they feel like you're part of the family and they see you on this regular basis. So when they meet you, they just, you know, feel very comfortable because they feel like they've grown up with you. Mm. So the majority of people are great. But yeah, then some people will like come at me sideways and want me to, you know, say lines from the show, or they'll be like, yo, my, you know, it's my aunt's birthday, can you like scream hug me brother at her on, you know, an Instagram story? And sometimes I'll do it depending on the mood, but
yeah,
you know, it's also I think too with social media, right, is that sort of that veneer has been broken. So whereas before people would just kind of come up and shake your hand, now it's like, yo, let's take 8 pictures and make sure I look great in them. Also, could we add a Snapchat filter? And will you FaceTime my cousin right now? And it's like, I would love to do all of that, but I am going to eat dinner with my wife, so I not have time.
And Paige, like, when have you, I mean, I'm assuming you've been around when like this has happened. Like, how do you feel when that happens?
It doesn't bother me. Like, I've definitely gotten a little more used to it. I think that there's certain times where we would feel more comfortable. Like if you're sitting at the dinner table and you're eating, it's like, maybe don't take a million photos because we're mid bite or whatever. Or, you know, people will come up and Josh will usually be pretty nice and just say, can I after I'm done eating, I'll get up and take a photo with you or whatever. But yeah, it's like Josh was saying, people kind of just feel really entitled to like your time. And if you, it'll, sometimes they forget that like they know who you are, but you don't know who they are. So sometimes if they just run up to you and are very aggressive, it's a little like, oh, it's a little uncomfortable or something like that. But for the most part, people are really nice and sweet. And it's a lot of kids. I also noticed lately, Josh and I were just talking about this, that maybe you've experienced this too, but when people come, like, it's a lot of kids now, and most people just want to take a picture of him and not with him, or like of half their face with him. It's really weird. Have you noticed that?
I've only had people like want it with me. Sometimes like when I've been out with my mom, I've had the like, can you take a picture of us? Like of like my mom with them, which is fine. Cause she's the housewife or whatever. I would rather that half the time anyway, cause I don't even like wear makeup since becoming a mom. So I'm never ready. So
I agree. Yeah. I've done the take a photo. That doesn't really bother me. I'm happy to do it. Like,
yeah,
someone's like, can you take a picture? I'm like, yes, I'm happy to do it. But yeah,
that's so funny. Just of him, like, it's like, just Google like
of
it
him, of him. Yeah, exactly. That's what we say. We're like, what is the point of doing that? Or like, why don't you just say hi? We saw these kids this weekend and we were both like, that was so nice. Just a bunch of kids came up and just wanted to shake his hand and have a conversation. And that was sweet. It's like, that seems like a nicer moment to us.
Yeah.
Than
they just wanted to like actually be like, hi. They didn't need like the proof or anything.
Right, exactly.
Like, yeah.
To brag to their friends.
This is my favorite thing, is when a dad will come up to me because they're like, you know, their teenage daughter watches YouTube or whatever and might be too shy to ask. So the father comes up and he's like, listen, bro. He's like, I have no idea who you are. But my daughter over here is going bananas. Will you just take a picture? And also, who are you? And I'll be like, bro, let's just take a picture. Do I have to like go through my entire biography right now?
Oh my God. Yeah, true. Especially because you don't know like where exactly they might know you from either. So you're like, you know, you don't want to like fully get into that.
Right.
You're like, Drake and Josh, no, that's not it. And then you start going through your whole filmography.
Yeah. I mean, well, at least like you have a variety of things you could say. I've had people say to me like, oh, you look so familiar. Are you so-and-so's cousin? Are you, wait, did you work at blah, blah, blah? How do I know you? And then I'll be like, have you ever seen The Real Housewives of New Jersey? And then I've had people be like, no. And then I have to be like, well, here's why I'm an asshole. So my mom is on that show. Yeah, it's like uncomfortable. It's like, just please, just, yeah
just
no, that's
take
funny.
The photo or... I don't know. That is always funny when people are like, I have no idea who you are, but can I get a picture for my son? And we're like, well, how do you know what? Like, why are we doing this?
So, Josh, you're still an actor, but you're very big, you know, on YouTube, and you've grown definitely a following, I think, from that too. I know you said you started with like Vine and everything, and then now you're like, you know, you're doing all kinds of stuff. Would you ever consider doing a reality show?
Probably not. I mean, I don't think so, but I would definitely like if it was something, but I don't know. I mean, I'm such a fan. I would love to guest star. Like if I could be on an episode of Real Housewives or like Vanderpump, that might be a dream come true. But even with like the stuff I do on YouTube or whatever, it's still weirdly like a heightened version, but I guess all reality is sort of heightened version. So yeah, I guess you never know, but it's, I don't know. I don't also don't want to ruin it for myself. Cause like Paige and I love it so much. I don't want to see behind the curtain.
True.
I was just going to say, Paige, you being like the big fan also, like same question for you. Like, is that something you would do? Like,
no. I'm far too uncomfortable with any sort of attention that I would not. I can't. I went to, this is really funny. I went to, so Josh's friend is on Vanderpump Rules actually, and she invited us to this party where the whole cast is there, and I didn't know. I thought it was just a party, and so we went, and they're like, hold up, like take a photo, and we have to get your information in case you're on the show. And I got so nervous. I was sweating, and I was like, Josh, oh my gosh, what if we're on the show? Like, this is so crazy. He's like, they're not going to put us on the show. So I'm just like in the background the whole time.
Oh my God. Which aware episode of, I have like, to see. Oh, you're saying like, we oh, you're not.
Make the cut. No. No. But I was just at the party the whole time, like so aware. And I was like, this is so crazy. But then, yeah, you get a little look inside of, it is crazy what you were saying too, about how you have those moments with your mom that are really nice. And then you have the moments where you're, you know, like any 17-year-old would be, it's the same thing. Like, I'm like, we were there for hours and they maybe showed 5 minutes of the party.
Yeah, which is like so they crazy. Don't realize that too. Or like my mom and I, not so much anymore. I think especially since me becoming a mom, I've just leveled out even just hormonally. I feel like that's the jolt I needed to be hormonally totally balanced. So we don't really fight like that. But even when we would fight like that, it was like, because my mom sort of raised me very much like a, you know, she was like a sister more than like a mom. Like she would raise right. me like a friend or a sister, and then she would like pull rank and be my mom. And then I think that's where a lot of our conflict came from.
Right.
So we would fight like that, like, you know, really aggressive. And then like 5 minutes later, like she would be in my room like, have you seen my shirt? Or like, oh, do you want to watch a movie? Like, you know, and we'd be fine. But it's right. like on the show, it just looks like carnage and it's like
totally
chaos. Yeah. And then everyone's like, oh my God.
But I'm sure that like having kids of your own too made you really appreciate your mom and like view her in a different way.
Yeah, totally. You especially know? Just even the older he gets, it's like there's just, you know, I mean he's gonna be 3 in August. And
that's so yeah, crazy.
It's like every month it's like there's something else and it's like, wow, okay, there's, and my mom was a, you know, very young mom.
Right.
So like I'm 28. When she was 28, she had an 8-year-old. So I'm
that's
like,
so crazy.
Oh. Yeah. So it definitely gives me more, you know,
perspective. On, yeah. Definitely. For sure. I just really quickly, I just want to let you know, Josh had to run out and hop on his phone call.
Yeah. It's
so
okay.
I can grab him if you need me to. Okay.
No, don't worry. Let him talk.
Okay.
But yeah, did you have to go or was that just him for his call?
That was just him for his call, but I can chat.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. I have
of
time.
Course. Girl talk. Getting fit and staying healthy always sounds easier said than done, right? I've been using OpenFit, which is a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. I love it because you can really personalize your experience to your needs, and the classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. One of the classes I took was led by a Sports Illustrated model. Okay? Yes, please. I love how convenient it is. You can access it anywhere and anytime. You can just press play and work out on your schedule. You can view it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, even Roku. So it's great if you're traveling for work, on vacation, or just have a super busy schedule like me. As a mom, it's so hard for me to find the time or sometimes even the energy to get to the gym. Or sometimes there may not always be classes available at the times that I'm free or they fill up, or it's just unrealistic to find a sitter. When you have a busy schedule, especially being a parent, every minute counts. OpenFit makes it so easy. I have really been enjoying adding this to my daily routine. Their classes are quick and effective. Waking up before my son in the morning and squeezing in a quick yoga session is my new favorite way to start the day. I can even fit a workout in while my son is taking a nap. Imagine 10-minute workouts that could pack the fat-burning, muscle-building, body-sculpting benefits of much longer sessions into a fraction of the time. That's 600 seconds, which is one of the programs they offer. The trainer, Devin Wiggins, can take the time you actually have in your busy day and turn it into the results that you want. You can choose from 42 high-intensity workouts of every type and style, do them for 30 days, and you can lose weight, flatten your abs, shape your body, and look great for free. OpenFit has really changed the way I work out, and with my code PARENTHOOD, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use my code PARENTHOOD and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, my listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text PARENTHOOD to 303030. That's 303030. You will get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text PARENTHOOD to 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply. So tell me about yourself. What do you do?
I've actually worked in fashion for like 10 years. Wow. I went to school at FITM in downtown LA.
Oh.
And Fashion Design, Institute of Design and Merchandising. And so I went to school there and have been working in fashion for, yeah, I'd say about 10 years. Wow. And then before I got pregnant, I was doing like custom art installations for hotels and restaurants and all these custom pieces with a good girlfriend of mine who I had met years ago. And she's like an incredible artist. Her name is Laura Stewart. And she asked me to come work with her. So I was working with her before I got pregnant. And then once I got pregnant, I couldn't really be around like all of the materials that we were using all the time because it's not, it's like toxic. So
that's amazing though. What made you make that shift? I mean, it's still, in my opinion, I feel like art, fashion, all of that, it's very much one and the same.
Totally.
But like, what made you make that shift?
I had always had, I've always just been a creative, like a maker, a doer. I really like to work with my hands. Like I like to build things.
It's therapeutic.
Totally. And I have a very specific aesthetic and style. So I was in fashion for a long time, and she and I actually went to the same college. We worked together at an e-commerce company years ago, and she and I were both doing digital, like graphic design at the time. Mm-hmm. And she left to go do all the visuals for Anthropology, like all their windows and stuff, which is like one of the probably better known places that has like incredible windows.
Very aesthetically
pleasing. Yeah. And she just, we had always kept in touch because our major at school was visual communication. So it was like, it could be anything from styling to interiors. And then we also did like window displays, was like a huge part of the whole thing, was just like display and building props and all these different things. So I had learned it in school and always had a lot of fun with it. So when she wanted me to come work with her, I was like, yeah, great, let's do it. And I had so much fun. But I think that in the future, when I go back to working, I have some stuff that I'm kind of working on right now, but would be in fashion, just because that's where I feel most comfortable.
So when you say in fashion, would you go back to doing design, or would you want to try a new avenue?
More on the design side, I would say. The visual side, I think, is always going to be fun. And I think I'll always work with Laura just because it makes me happy. And it's so fun to do. And we get to like travel around and do and install things. And I would love to like go back to working and doing that as well. But I really do think that like the design, I would really, I'm in the process of some stuff right now of getting back into design. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. It's hard to find the time when you're a mom, you know. I wasn't expecting to be the person that wanted to take so much time off. Mm-hmm. Cause working has always been super important to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's hard. It really is hard to like get back into it. And I totally understand that now.
It's like finding that balance, you know, it's like you have that awareness, like, okay, I have this life I'm responsible for now, but right. I didn't stop existing, and I have to try to find a balance between mommy and me, you right. know, because it's like, it is, you know, it's one in the same but separate. So you're like right. trying to still have your identity. Yeah,
find the balance, and it is hard. And I do also realize that I'm extremely lucky to have the you know, to have the decision to make that I'm able to be at home with the baby, and I don't have to be working right now because Josh is working so much. Mm-hmm. But again, then that's a handoff for him. Like his job is really flexible, and he's able to be here a lot with the baby. But you know, it is hard. I see how hard it is for him, you know, having to be gone all day working or traveling and away for a couple days at a time. And I think that that would be just so hard on me right now, where I am, right now, until he's a little bigger.
Yeah, no, I mean, totally. You seem like you have a great support system. So, you know, luckily you do get to have this time with your baby right now. I know
Josh has so many different projects going on right now. He's busy with a few different platforms, but I know especially with YouTube, I feel like people don't give YouTubers, and even on Instagram, the shorter clips, I feel like people aren't aware of how much time and energy actually goes into those little bits. Like, that's a job of its own, just that. It really is. And it has nothing to do with being naturally funny, although I'm sure that helps. You know, I follow you both on Instagram, and Josh is always posting hilarious content, and people just don't realize that it can be very time consuming, regardless of the flexibility he has, like you said.
Oh, it takes so much. It really is like, you know, a full-time job. Like, the kids, all the people out there that do it as their full-time job, and you're right, people don't get enough respect for it because it is a lot of work. And you know, I always laugh because people always like to laugh at them. Like, but you guys are the people following them. Like, you're the ones wanting to know what they're doing next, and you're entertained by their content and everything. So I think that it
does.
Really,
he get
is
bad comments?
No. Not really. But I do have other friends that, like, you know, a lot of my friends will say that they're the hardest thing is like walking into a room and someone asking what you do, and you have to explain to them that you're a social media influencer, and then people kind of don't take you seriously, I guess.
Yeah. And that's funny to me too, because it's like people, because I have heard that too. There's like that stigma of like, oh, social media influencer, but it's like, hey, you do it then.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's so, it's not respectable, but hey, here we are, you know, making an income and working really hard, and we're doing it. So it's so easy. You go do it, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's not.
It is really crazy. And it does take a lot of time and a lot of effort. And so, yeah. And Josh has his hand in like the social media side of things, which is like YouTube and Instagram and all of that. And then he also has, you know, his podcast, and he's also acting, and he's also writing. And so he has his hand in everything. So he's definitely very busy, which
for sure
is a blessing and a curse. You know, he loves being busy, and it's good to be busy. It's a good problem to have, but also, you know, when you have a baby, it kind of, you want to be home a lot more.
I mean, yeah, I just have this podcast, and this episode will be my 10th episode. And
congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, I know Josh has had like 50 something or more. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of work goes into it, you know, even just one. And then it's like, you know, I don't even have half as many other projects going on right now. So yeah, it's like every minute away from my son, it's like I feel guilty or something, but it's
right.
Like, but you got to like enjoy the time.
The good part about the social media stuff, though, on the other side, and the writing and all that, is that he can be home. Like, he can work from home, which is really nice. So he is here a lot. But I think it does get hard when it comes to like being on a set, or you know, being away, traveling a lot, and you're gone for days at a time.
Even being home, though, I feel like you have to have self-discipline if you're going to, you know, work from home and do things from home, because it's very easy to get
distracted
off track or like distracted. Yeah,
it is very hard. It is. That's what he keeps saying, that he needs to get like a separate office, because we don't have one in our house right now. So he's like, I think I need to get an office because I keep getting distracted, and all I want to do is play with the baby when I'm home. So
I know, I was watching the parenting Q&A that you guys did, and like at the end when he was like talking in his little baby voice, it started with him, I think, talking to his friend, but they were doing the little baby voice. Does he talk to him like that or no?
He's really funny, and it actually is very cute, because if we're home alone all day, or if, you know, I have my sister helping me out, and if we're home and hanging out with him and Josh comes walking through the door, Max will just start smiling ear to ear. It's very cute. He gets so excited to see him, and he starts like giggling and laughing, because he just, you know, they have a good time. And he puts on the funny voices, and he has this like energy that is unmatched for sure, because he really can like pull it out of him. He can get him to laugh, he can get him to smile. And so he gets so excited when he comes home. He like can't stop smiling.
Do you guys have any nicknames for your son yet?
Okay, we do. It's really embarrassing. So Josh is like he loves to create nicknames that aren't words. It's just like sounds, kind of.
Okay.
So he started calling Max Stunky, like Stunk. And so he was calling him that, and all of a sudden, like, what did what are you calling him? What is that? Like, what does that mean? And he's like, no, I don't know. I just made it up. It's just this word that I keep calling because he just looks like a little stunk, like a little stunky. So yeah. Now everyone in our life calls him stunky. Like,
that
friends,
is amazing.
Family, everyone calls him that. It's so, I'm like, okay, we have to stop calling him this because he's going to think that's his name. Everyone calls him stunky.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I'm really making a conscious effort to call him Max so he knows his name.
At least, like, Stunky is, like, you know, that's, like, a nickname. But, like,
right.
My son, we have a bunch of random nicknames. But 9 out of 10 times, we call my son, his name is Cameron. Uh-huh. We call him Bob for reasons. I don't remember fully how it began or what, but same thing. Stuff. It's, like, but, yeah, now even my mom is, like, oh, how's Bob? And, like. You know, it's like, I don't know where it came from, but same thing. It's like, we have to stop because it's like, his name is going to be Bob now, not Cameron.
It's so hard to stop.
It really is.
Even though I'm thinking about it and I know I'm not trying to call him Stunky, I'm still, sometimes it slips. I'm like, Josh, I hate that you put this name in my head because now I can't stop.
That's so cute though. Yeah. It'll be a good, like, first date conversation starter for him when he's older.
For sure. For sure.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Green Chef? It's a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. It works like this. You choose from a wide array of easy to follow lifestyle options. There's something for everyone. Meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, Mediterranean, heart smart, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, and omnivore. With Green Chef, it's easy to eat well and discover new recipes every week that you'll love to cook. And you can always switch up your meal plan whenever you're ready to try a new way to eat. With Green Chef's wide variety of high-quality, clean ingredients, you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. I loved how convenient and easy this was. I tried out a few of the meals from their pescatarian meal plan, and I have to say, it was so good. My favorite was probably the Jamaican jerk spice cauliflower. Amazing. My stomach is growling thinking of it now. I also tried their coconut crusted Alaska cod and Cajun spice shrimp, which came with the ingredients to also make these gluten-free spicy cheddar biscuits as a side, and I could not believe how good they were. I can honestly say I loved all of it, and I was really impressed with how much my final result actually looked like the photos that the recipes came with. All of the recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along. Everything is hand-picked and delivered right to your door. The ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped. They include pre-made measured sauces, dressings, and spices so you can get more flavor in less time. Green Chef makes it super easy to enjoy clean ingredients you can trust. Right now, if you go to greenchef.us/parenthood, you can receive $50 off your first box of Green Chef. Let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you week after week. Again, go to greenchef.us/parenthood for $50 off your first box of Green Chef now.
So you were saying something with your design. You said you were working on a little something. What you working on?
Yeah, well, what am I working? It's just in the early stages right now, but I just wanted to start a line that, it's funny, I've worked in fashion for a long time and it's something that I love, and, you know, style, all of that. It's like, it is something that is just in my heart that I've always been drawn to, but there is a bigger part of me sometimes that, you know, I hear like my friends talking about their jobs and they're like, oh, I'm a doctor and I saved someone's life today and I did all this. And I'm like, wow. That kind of makes you feel like a little, you know, like,
no, you can't do that.
No. But I think that, like, I finally have found that I think that going forward, sustainability in fashion is something that I'm passionate about. And, like, I'm also vegan.
Oh, wow.
I follow a vegan diet and I try my hardest to live a vegan lifestyle. It is very hard. And I think that a lot of that is hard because of things that are available to me. There's not a lot that is available to me that's totally sustainable or, you know, vegan or, you know, eco-friendly. There's so many things that go into it that I think that that's what sparked this in me to start working with some of my friends that I've worked with for years in different parts of the industry we are kind of working on something together to hopefully try to put together something that's, you know, it's sustainable and also fashion forward and also can kind of like fill this gap in the market, which is like a vegan market, but it could also appeal to anyone if they, you know, they like the message or if they like the product. So
yeah, totally. That's so great. I mean, if you have the option to live that kind of lifestyle, why not? And there's definitely a gap in the market when it comes to sustainable fashion.
Oh, yeah.
I saw how Nikki Reed has a company where she makes jewelry out of recycled metals from Dell computers or something like that, which I think is so awesome. I love stuff like that. I think that's great that concepts like that are being explored by people like you. That's amazing.
Right. And I was thinking of like, my friend and I were together this weekend who I was working with, and she was mentioning like she's so knowledgeable about all this stuff, and she's like really teaching me so much. And she was like, yeah, like you could do recycled metal as like the hardware for everything. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's incredible. Like to have everything just be sustainable. And also, you know, a big problem in fashion is like clothes that get sent to the landfill and are not good for the environment. They're releasing toxins as they sit there from the dyes or from the fabric itself or, you know, stuff like that. So, there's definitely ways, and there's so many people, like really cool companies that are coming forward and, making new textiles and new ways of dyeing things and designing things so that, they're better long term for the environment, which I think is really cool. And I also think is really important. And I do think that millennials right now are like super into sustainable fashion, which makes me really happy. So hopefully I could put together something that will be all of those things, you know?
Yeah, that sounds incredible. I can't wait to see what you're doing with that.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
Yes. Very exciting. So bringing it back to your pregnancy and all that, I saw again in the Q&A video you guys did when Josh was saying how you told him you were pregnant, like you had picked him up from the airport and you just kind of showed him the test. But what was your reaction to being pregnant? Like, were you planning a pregnancy right away?
No, we weren't. I was just... like Josh was out of town. I was feeling a little, you know, off. Like women are so in tune. Most are so in tune with their bodies, and like every little thing, if something is slightly off when it comes to like a period or something like that, you kind of know right away. Mm-hmm. So something was off, and I thought that it could have been hormonal. And cause I had been tracking all of that, to get like blood work done and stuff like that to try to see if like all my hormone levels were normal and, you know, whatever. So as soon as that happened, I was like, well, maybe I should just take a test just because it's going to be in my head. Because when I Googled, you know, you Google and then you go down the hole and everything's like, oh, something bad's happening or you could be pregnant. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to start eliminating things before I go to the doctor. And so I started eliminating things. Well, I tried. So I took the test. And I just like took it and put it down and didn't even think about it. You know, like I was like, okay, what am I doing the rest of the day? And almost instantly it was like pregnant.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said this in the video, but I walked out and I had to lay on my bed because I was shaking. I thought that I was going to pass out, and I was like, okay, if I pass out in the bathroom and I hit my head and then somebody comes and finds me and I'm here by myself, like it was bad. So I laid down and I was like, oh my God. So I took another one and it was positive again. And I was like, Josh is on a plane. I can't tell anyone because I have to tell him and I can't, you know, so I'm like holding on to this for the next few hours, just sitting here by myself, knowing that I'm pregnant. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so crazy. What's Josh going to say? What's he going to do? So I went and I picked him up for the airport and I just like, how's your trip? He was like, oh, it was good. I'm so happy to be home. I was like, cool, here. And he was just like, oh, he freaked out. I mean, I think both of us were in shock for a good like week until we kind of finally were like, okay, yeah, I think this is actually happening. It is shocking and it doesn't seem real. I know so many people are so in tune with like their body, their pregnancy, and you know, the whole time they're like, oh yeah, like I'm so in touch with the baby and I talk to the baby every night and I'm this and that. And I'm like, oh, I don't do that. Like I don't know why. I just didn't feel that the whole time. You know, I it didn't feel real to me until he was actually here.
Was your pregnancy enjoyable, or did you like, were you miserable?
There were waves. It definitely, it was a little bit harder on me, to be honest with you, than I thought it would be. I think that it was physically just hard on my body. I had a lot of, you know, discomfort and pain and stuff like that. And the baby was breech. So he was up, like when he was getting bigger, he was really up high. So I had a really hard time breathing because he like tilted, my heart was tilted or something. I had to go to the doctor for it. So yeah, like I had a hard time with stuff like that. Like breathing was difficult and, you know, doing day-to-day activities towards the end was really hard. Second trimester was pretty nice and easy. First trimester was very sick. Pretty much the whole time.
And then
second trimester was pretty easy. And then third trimester was pretty easy towards the end. It got a little tougher. But again, what we were saying earlier about getting good advice. I had a hard, you know, you get so tired towards the end where you're just like, I'm huge. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to do anything. And I had a friend call me and she was like, listen, get up and get ready and come out to dinner with us. And I'm like, no, I'm having a baby next week. I don't want to do that. And she's like, trust me, you're get up and go, like plan something for every night this week to go to dinner with your friends, go see your friends, go do stuff because you will not be able to do this for a while, for a couple weeks at least until you're feeling like yourself.
Yeah.
And she's like, you'll have plenty of time to sleep. You know, the baby sleeps a lot in the first few weeks. So she's like, you'll have time to sleep and recover. But she's like, go out and enjoy yourself and, you know, see your friends and do things that you've been wanting to do, try a new restaurant or whatever. And I thought that that was good advice because I ended up being really happy that I forced myself to get up out of bed and off the couch and go see my friends. So, but overall I would say like, it was okay. I wasn't that woman that was like, you know, running around naked and like showing off her bare baby bump and like, oh, I feel so beautiful. I was like, no, I'm huge and disgusting.
That's how I felt. Yeah.
Yeah. I gained a lot of weight and it's, you know, it's such a crazy thing that your body goes through. It's really cool and it is really beautiful. And it's, I'm still can't believe that I did it almost, you know, you're like, wow, I can't believe I was able to do that. But yeah, it is hard at times for sure. It wasn't like Caitlin, when she was pregnant, she is on another level. Like she looked like she didn't even gain a pound during her pregnancy. She was like,
I'm sorry,
go, go, go.
I know how you felt and I was agreeing with how you felt, but I saw your pregnancy photos too, miss. Okay. And you
no,
did not look
no,
anything
that's not
like
true.
I looked.
That's not true. I gained 50 pounds. I was really just, yeah, to the point where my doctor's like, this baby's going to be huge. He was only like 6 pounds, 13 ounces. So most of it was me. but he, yeah, so she was like incredible though. She had so much energy and she was just like, was doing it all like throughout her whole pregnancy. She was incredible. And so, I would always talk to her like, how did you do this? Like, how is it so easy for you? But you know, it's so different for everyone. And it could have been way worse. My doctor was like giving me horror stories for a while. So I was like, okay, at least it's not that bad. But, my first trimester, towards the end, we had this trip planned for months for Hawaii with our friends. So we went and I was so sick the whole time. I felt so bad. I was just so sick, but I, you know, you started to gain weight and I was feeling so bloated and all these things. And I remember feeling so disgusting. And then now I'm like looking back at those photos and I'm like, oh, I looked incredible. Like, what was I thinking? Because, you know, I was like stressing out over those first few pounds that I'm gaining at the beginning. And then towards the end, I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? I was so crazy. I wish I could go back to that time. But yeah, it is crazy. And I definitely started to get a little, luckily I was in December. So I did get to, it cooled off for me, but
yeah,
the summer months are not fun.
Yeah. I feel like, either being sick during the summer or the very end of pregnancy during the summer, I feel like is hard. Winter, it has to get a little bit better.
Yeah. It definitely, was a little bit easier towards the end. But then again, you know, this is something I didn't know about, but we had Max about a week early, and he was born on the 29th. I went in on the 28th. And I didn't know. So my doctor was there, and she was taking the week that Max was due. She was taking that whole week off. So my whole pregnancy, she was like, I just want to let you know that this is the only week I take off out of the whole year. And so I won't be there if he's born during that time. So that kind of made me nervous, like the whole pregnancy. I'm like, I really want her to be there. We established a great relationship. So I was super nervous about that. But I didn't know. So we went in, and she was like, I said, can I schedule him for the 29th or the 28th or the 30th? She was like, no, everything is booked up because it's the end of the year and people are trying to have their babies before January 1st for like the tax write-off. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah. So they meet their deductible and all this stuff. And I had no idea that that was a thing. And it was so crazy that I couldn't even get a room at the hospital because there were so many people trying to have their babies before January 1st.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that that was a thing, but that was crazy.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that that was a thing either, but I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. It totally makes sense, but I was like laughing, that there were so many people. And then I guess that there was other people, and I thought this is funny, that were like trying to hold off and trying to time it perfectly so they had the first first baby born in the year or whatever.
Oh yeah, because there's something with that too, right? Don't they get?
Yeah, but the hospital was like, we give you like a little basket with like a stuffed animal. It's nothing crazy.
They're like insane in labor pain, like, no, yeah, he's staying in there, hold on.
Yeah, meanwhile I'm like, get him out, like do whatever you got to do. Yeah,
I know you were saying before when you were talking about the C-section, and Josh was saying he was in there, he was joking about fainting and all that. Or so I think he was joking, right?
He was joking.
I thought he was joking. But how did that go down? I think the both of you, like, because I know when they do C-section, even though you're awake, there is like anesthesia involved. And I know that can be a little crazy. Yeah. What were all the emotions kind of like during all that time?
So for my whole pregnancy, I just had a feeling that I was going to have a C-section. I like had been telling my doctor that since the beginning. And then when she was going to induce me, I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. Like, we're going to do this. I'm going to have the baby naturally. And this is how it's going to happen. So not that I necessarily wanted the C-section. I just always thought that that's what it was going to be. And so I went in and I was just nervous the whole time. I just don't like hospitals. I don't like needles. Like I don't like the whole thing. So, they kept checking me throughout the day to see if I dilated anymore, and I didn't. So by 7 o'clock at night, I started to swell a little bit, which is a sign that it's you're swelling. So it's not good and the baby won't be able to come out. So they need to go in and do a C-section pretty quickly. So I would say within 30 minutes of hearing that I was getting a C-section, I was in the operating room. So they put on the hat, the little knit, the little cap, and like, you know, changed your gown, and they're like, all right, we're bringing you in. And they brought me into the room and put me on this like little table, gave me a nerve block. Luckily, I'd already had the epidural, so I wasn't in pain throughout the day when I was in labor. But and they were able to go in right through there. So they just gave me, I guess it probably would feel similar to the epidural. So they gave me the nerve block, and you just can't really feel anything from like the chest down. And there's a big screen up above you, so you can't see anything. But yeah, I guess I wasn't expecting to be so cold. That was like the one thing that I wasn't expecting. I was shivering that I thought I was going to fall off the table. And it's a mixture of the medicine and the operating room being so cold. So I was really distracted.
Yeah, because everything's exposed, right?
Right. For like bacteria, they have to keep it super cold. And then, yeah, everything is exposed and you're laying there. And so they're wrapping up my head and my arms with hot towels to keep me warm. But yeah, it's really crazy. And, I think I was a little distracted, to be honest with you, by the shivering and by that sensation. Yeah. And there's just so many people in the room. There's like two anesthesiologists, two doctors, three nurses on you, two nurses waiting for the baby. Like there's a lot of people. So there's a lot going on. Wow. And yeah, it was just a very quick experience. It was a very quick surgery. I think it's like 30 to 40 minutes total.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's crazy how quickly they get the baby out. It's like very fast. And then the rest of the time, like I said earlier, was just putting you back together, I guess.
Did Josh seem like scared or was he calm during that?
He was calm, but I could tell he was a little nervous because he was talking a lot, where I'm sitting there with my eyes shut and I don't want to speak to anyone. I just want to lay there in silence. And he's like, "You're doing great," you know, just being super sweet. But I could tell he was definitely nervous.
He's like, maybe if I keep talking, that's still go faster. And...
Exactly. Yeah. But then they were saying how they're like, well, we're going to take the baby and then we're going to put him right here and get him all cleaned up. But you'll be able to see him because they can't put him on you. Mm-hmm. Like you can't really do chest to chest right away or anything. But they're like, don't worry, you'll be able to see him. But I don't know what happened. And I wasn't able to see him for a while. So I'm yelling out questions laying there because Josh went to be with the baby. So, I'm like, wait, what is it, a boy? Like, what does he look like? What color hair does he have? Cause Josh had a very different look, right? I'm like, we look so different. So, you know, I kind of was expecting the baby to look just like Josh and he actually looks a lot like me, which is crazy.
I was going to say that in that picture you posted recently when he's in that cute little beanie.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Totally. Your twin.
He really does look a lot like me. And we were both, I mean, everyone I think was expecting him to come out with like black hair, olive skin, green eyes, like to look just like Josh. But yeah, I think my genes won in this case. They were a little stronger. So
I know your son is still pretty brand new, but do you guys talk about having more kids at all or you're just kind of?
Yeah, you know, we do. It's funny. I do want to have more kids for sure. I think it's just comes down to timing. And I think I always thought, yeah, I want to have kids back to back. Like I want to have my kids be super close in age. But now that he's here, I almost feel like I want to have time with him to like actually get to know him and to let him develop his own personality without being a big brother or without having like, you know, a lot of the attentions separated. Like, I don't know. I just would be like,
I haven't looked at it from that perspective either.
Yeah.
I feel like anytime I talk about more kids, I always think of like, as far as like advice goes for anybody, I'm always like, I feel like I would rather have like just a few rough years, like close together than like have them get to a certain age and then like you start over.
Right.
But from that perspective that you just said, that makes so much more sense too. It's like, yeah, because they do develop their own personalities and it's nice to be able to give them like that individual attention before, yeah, like shoving another kid in the mix. And then it's like,
I had a girlfriend who had twins in their five or they're turning six. And she is really good friends with me and Caitlin. And she was for a long time, like we're going back and forth. The girls are turning six. Like we've always wanted to have more kids, but it's just so, you know, it's such a big thing because it's a big age gap now. And she ended up having another baby 2 months before me. Almost to the day. And she said that like, it's the easiest thing. She's just having the best time because the girls are old enough to help and, you know, they love her and they're able to kind of take care of themselves now so that she doesn't feel like she's running around after three toddlers or infants. Yeah. You know? So she's having a really good time. And she said that her experience has been really nice. So that did make me feel a little bit better. So I don't know, who knows? I could change my mind as soon as he, you know, turns one and isn't a baby anymore. And I'm like, wait, I miss my baby, but who knows?
And I mean, you guys are still young too, you know, so you have time.
Yeah, like... exactly. So I don't know. We talk about it, but we're kind of like, I think I just want to enjoy him for a little bit and like get to know him.
Yeah. So what's been like the craziest thing so far that you like, maybe you weren't expecting being a parent?
The craziest thing so far.
Bad or good. Either
bad or good. I don't know what that. It's so funny because people keep saying like, what is it, everything you expected? And I think I've been around kids a lot. I have a huge family, as you do too, so you've been around kids, you know, a lot. And
yeah,
I just think that with I nannied for years. I just have always had kids in my life. So I think that I was pretty prepared for what it would be like. Of course it's much different when it's 24 hours a day and it's, you know, your child, but I do think I was pretty prepared. I think that I'm surprised at how much I've changed. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, as a mom, like I kind of have always been like, well, I think I'll have the baby, but I think I'll always, you know, really want to work, or I'll always not prioritize, but I'll always like make my friends a priority, make them all feel like I'm still seeing them, whatever. But now I'm kind of like, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I care, but I don't. Like, I'm there for all the big things and things that I should be. But like, you know, I don't have FOMO anymore. I'm not like, oh, I really wish I was at that brunch. Like, no, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that's,
you know, so funny. Mm-hmm. And Josh will say that too. His advice, people are like, I don't know, I want to have kids, but I don't know if I'm ready. And Josh is like, I think my advice would be, if you still want to be at brunch on Sunday, I wouldn't have kids. Like, if that's important to you, then you're probably not ready to have a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just, it's just like not important anymore. You know, I think your perspective on life is, my perspective on life has changed so much, that, you know, the little things that used to like bother me, or, you know, little things that people would do or say, like, that I used to be like, oh, that's kind of annoying. I like, don't care anymore. I'm like, that's not even important in the big scheme. It's like, if my kid is healthy and he's happy and, you know, trying to figure out, navigate like what's wrong with him, or what's, you know, if he's has a fever, I'm like, okay, that takes priority over everything is going on in the outside world.
That was hard for me to balance in the beginning too. Like, I went back to work fairly soon. Like, I think I only was home like 2 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have like a full-time job. It was, you know, more part-time, but I mean, yeah, like, it definitely affected my work in the sense of like, my son, he was sick a lot in the beginning. He had RSV, which is like a respiratory infection.
Oh,
he
gosh.
Had like, yeah, luckily, you know, everything was fine, but yeah, like, you know, little things like that. So after that, because he only had that, probably he was like 2 or 3 months old. So after that happened, he could have the slightest fever or a cough or whatever, and I would like call out of work, and I'd be like, and it got to the point where it's like, hey, you're going to lose your job. And I'm like, hey, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you're my baby's right sick now. And like, that's not even friends. So imagine how I was with my friends.
Yeah. No, like, exactly.
With work, like, hey, I don't care. My son is sick. So
yeah,
but it
is,
does,
crazy,
you have
too.
To, like, your priorities just change so much.
And you're always wondering, speaking of them being sick, it's like, they're so little and you don't know. It's so hard to tell what's wrong. So if he's crying and he's uncomfortable for any reason, that's like kind of a little out of character for him. So if he's like screaming, crying, I start freaking out. I'm like, oh gosh, there's something wrong. Like, he must have a fever. He must be sick. He must be this and that, but they're usually fine. My doctor's like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I can tell how, like, you know, when you see those like diaper commercials, it's like first kid and then second kid.
Oh yeah.
I do see how, like, now that my son is almost three, I do feel like if I had another one now, like, you get more comfortable when they get sick now.
Totally.
Like, you get it, get, there's like an ease to it where you're like, all right, let's go, we know the drill, like, we got
it's
this
not
down.
As urgent. Yeah
And like, you know, you start to get it more, but in the beginning, like you said, it's like, it's everything's so new and you're like, you're not sure, and like, you know, you have your parents saying like, oh, it's fine, but I'm like, no, it's not, you know,
it's,
and you're
not,
like, in panicky. Yeah, so all that definitely changes too.
Yeah, it's like everything is you have to, my doctor's like, whatever you do, don't Google anything. She's like, if you have a question, call me. Don't Google anything, because you're never going to be happy with what you find.
That's even like for myself, like, I'll have like a stiff neck and I Google it, and then it's like, I'm dying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't.
It's always
Google.
Bad news when you Google.
Yeah, never. How old is your son again? 4 months?
He's four months. Yeah.
4 months. So is he, I'm trying to remember. See, I'm already forgetting. When do they start crawling? Is he crawling?
He's not crawling. No. He's not. Yeah. He's not crawling or anything like that yet. But
I think my son was like 5.5 or 6 months when he started crawling.
Okay.
But it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
but my point with that is, like, you know, in the beginning, things like, okay, I'm going to shower now and get ready for the day now. It's like they would just kind of lay there, you know, or I could put him in his crib or put him in something and they're, you know, still, and I could like kind of get ready and do my thing. And then as they get more mobile, like, that's my only advice, I think, for moms, is like, try to somewhat get a routine of some kind so that you're able to do these things. Cause especially now that my son is very mobile, being like a toddler, I need like help if I want to shower. Cause he won't listen to me like, hey, sit here while mommy showers so I can keep an eye on you. It's like, no, he's like,
yeah, he needs gone. Someone. Yeah. I agree. Like, I still am able to, you know, if he's taking a nap or he'll sleep in his crib or whatever, like I'll be able to like sneak away for a couple minutes to take a shower. But of course I have like the monitor on the counter and I'm like watching it every 2 seconds. I'm like checking on it to make sure he's not crying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely have had those thoughts where I'm like, what am I going to do? And he's moving around and not able to, like, not taking naps as often, you know. It is crazy that everything, like, you don't think about those little things that become such luxuries, like running to the grocery store by yourself without like the stroller and the, you know, those little things are so nice when you have a moment to just do those and get things done like that. Take a shower, you know, like anything, go to the gym. Like, it is so nice that those are the things that I prioritize now. I'm like, I have to run to the bank. Like, you know, those things are like my big outings for the day, which is so funny. But yeah, it's so hard when they're, I worry, when you were saying it happens at different stages for different kids, there's so many things. And I feel like people are so judgmental almost, or everyone has an opinion, or you're always doing something wrong, especially on the internet. That's why I try not to overshare a lot about him. It's just like, I don't really care to hear everyone else's opinions. Yeah. But yeah, like I even had this doctor yesterday, a specialist that we're going to see, because he needed a helmet because he had a little flat spot on the side of his head.
Oh yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. And he, that's been a hard situation, but he, this, you know, I had a doctor tell me that, she said, is he still sleeping in the swaddle? And I said, yeah, he's still sleeping in the swaddle. I've tried a couple of times to, you know, transition him out and he just won't sleep and he's very uncomfortable. So, you know, as soon as I swaddle him, he goes back to bed. So I just figured that it's just not time for him yet. Like, he's just not ready for it. Yeah. So, you know, I told her he's just not ready for it. And I just felt like I was shamed by this doctor for my baby still being swaddled. And I was like, wow, this is so crazy that like, I'm being shamed that my baby is still, so I'm like, every baby does things at different times. And if that's like what works for him and he's fine with it for now, like there's no risk involved, then I don't know, it's like that big of a deal. But yeah, I felt like, I was like, wow, it's so crazy. I'm sure you get it all the time, especially being, you know, very vocal about being a mom and parenting and stuff like that. I'm sure people always have an opinion.
I guess that's one of the pros of like reality TV, especially coming off the way that I did, is you kind of over the years develop like a really thick skin.
Yeah.
So like I handle, I think, social media trolls pretty well at this age.
Right.
Depending on like my mood that day. I usually just kind of like, you know, delete and block or whatever. But sometimes I'll like get a little feisty with them. But yeah, I mean, everyone has an opinion. And I tend to like welcome the opinions, because they might come at me with something that I find interesting or something I haven't heard of. It's when they think that, like, even if you look at it from like a bigger picture, as far as like, all right, politically or religiously, people have their opinions, but just because it's your opinion and your beliefs doesn't mean that's right. It's right for you, but it might not be right to somebody else, and it doesn't mean one of you is wrong. Like, you can both be right. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
oh yeah.
So I look at things more like, I guess, diplomatically like that, where I'm like, oh, we can both be right, but hey, for me and for my kid, like, this is what's working.
Right. But I'm so happy that works for your kids, but like, it just doesn't work for him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's so many. And again, it's like, I welcome the advice and the, you know, comment. Like, I welcome it because I'm a first time mom. Like, I don't know everything about being a mom, but So I'm like so happy. It does take a village. Like people can give you advice. I'm like, oh my God, that's the best advice I've ever gotten. Or like, that really worked for him. Thank you for the tip. But then, you know, I think it's more of like the shaming that comes. It's like, that's what's hard is when you're like, okay, well, you know, everyone is different and different things work for different kids for sure.
Yeah. And it is hard when it's like, cause especially being a first time mom and it's like, you're trusting your doctor, or just really any doctor you're talking to, you know, you're kind of trusting them. And it's like, it is hard when you kind of get that like shaming aspect from them. Like my son, right. he'll be 3 August 30th and he's going on 2 months now without his pacifier, but he had his pacifier for a pretty, you know, long time. And so, you know, the doctor would ask, you know, at the last however many visits, oh, does he still have his pacifier? I'm like, yes, he does. And they would like, you know, at first I felt bad. And then after like the first two visits of them kind of like making me feel bad about it, I was kind of like, no, you know what? Like it makes my son feel good, you know, at night. Like he was only having it at night. Right. It wasn't like during the day. It was like to go to bed. And if that makes him comfortable to go to sleep, like let him have his pacifier.
Yeah. Luckily, I love my pediatrician and she's been like amazing. And so if I ever have days like yesterday where I wasn't really super comfortable with like how the specialist was, I'll call my doctor and be like, wait, is this something that like I really need to be? And she makes me feel totally good about everything. She's like, no, don't worry about it. Like, it's totally fine. Every kid's different. She's like, you know, so that's nice. Like to have that, a great relationship with her. So I feel a lot better about certain things, but yeah, like it's like people, it's whatever works for him. And honestly, if it goes day 3, day 4 of like neither of us sleeping, we're not good to each other. Like we're no good to each other without sleep. So if he's going to sleep through the night swaddled and be a happier baby and I can get some rest as well, then great. You know, until he's ready, I'm not going to like force it anything.
Yeah.
You know, so like when I tried to sleep train him and that didn't work.
I know, it's so hard.
Totally. And I think that it's also like, it's just everyone's different style, parenting style, and whatever works. You know, I think your kid really will dictate how they want to be parented almost. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, just raise a good person. And however you feel like you're raising a good person, like do what you got to do.
Right.
As long as no one, as long as there's love and, you know, everyone's okay. You know, I feel like what you got to do.
Do what you got to do to raise a good kid that's nice. And like kind. I'm like, I don't care if your kid isn't potty trained. I care if your kid is nice to other people, kids.
I'm working on that first. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
So for you, I know Mother's Day is coming up soon. Do you have any expectations for it or
no expectations? It's so funny. Not really. I think our Mother's Days are always pretty low key with our moms anyway. So I think, I don't know. I don't, unless Josh has something planned that I don't know about, but I think that we'll probably just like go see my mom for a little and then go see his mom for a little and, you know, be pretty low key and just enjoy the day off that we are all together, which is really nice and rare. So, I think we're just going to keep it low key. I'm a pretty, you know, low key person. I don't have many expectations for holidays and things like that, or, you know.
Have you thought about Mother's Day at all? Like, has that hit you yet? Because I know that one was a weird one for me when I was like, oh, wow, Mother's Day. That's something for me now,
weird.
Too.
Yeah, now that we're talking about it, it is a little weird that, like, it's a new holiday that you get to celebrate, you know? It is weird. It's funny because this – at Mother's Day last year is when I told my mom that I was pregnant. So that is crazy. It's like a full circle.
Yeah, like you're not thinking when you're telling them – you're pregnant next year. By this time next year, I'm going to have this baby.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's so crazy, but it's exciting. It is cool. It's a fun, I guess it's, yeah, I don't know. It is pretty weird that I'm now a mom. Like it still is weird to me that I have a child.
I feel like it's always weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you probably know 3 years in, you're probably like a little, not
3 years
used to it
still. I'm still looking at him like, wow, I grew you, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
This is something. You're mine.
It's
your
so
father
funny.
And I made you and here you are.
Do you see little like personality traits in him that you or your husband have? Like, do you see things and you're like, oh my God, that's me?
Yeah, totally. Especially
you do.
Like certain facial expressions and like his humor is starting to really show too. Like he thinks certain things are really funny, and he's definitely like a boy. Like he's really into like if he like farts, I'll be like, did you just toot? And then he'll like laugh, and then he'll get quiet, and he'll purposely try to like focus to try to do it again on purpose, and then he'll laugh so hard, and I'm like, yep, he's a little boy.
Yeah. That's like, so funny.
Yeah, and it's definitely something his dad would do. So
yeah, like... that's I'm so curious to see what his personality will be like. That's what Josh and I talk about every night before we go to bed. We're like, what do you think he's gonna be like who's he gonna be like? Is he gonna be like you, or is he gonna be like me?
Yeah,
so I'm excited for that.
We're still curious, like, is he going to be into sports, or is he going to want to, like, dance? Is he going to want to, like, we don't know. It's, it's exciting.
That is exciting. It is fun to see as they go. You know, even now, like, week by week, we'll see these little changes in him. And again, it's not, like, anything crazy yet because he's still so young. But, you know, he's like started laughing this week, and that's like his big development. Yeah. And I'm obsessed. So now 24/7, we're just trying to get him to laugh.
You're trying to find ways like, all right, what's it going to be
and
now?
He's half the time. He's like, no, I'm not into it. Just me mugging us. And we're doing really stupid things to try to get him to laugh. And I'm like, oh gosh, we're those parents like screaming and like laughing and trying to, you know, talk in different voices. And he's just staring at us. No emotion whatsoever.
When my son first started laughing, only my mom could make him laugh. And like, I would do like the same thing, and like, he wouldn't laugh, but he would laugh at my mom doing it. And
that's so funny. He was laughing for my mom when he first started laughing.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And so now Josh and I try to get him to do it again.
Yeah.
I know. We try to do it and he doesn't do it. That's exactly what we're going through.
That's so funny. Oh, I love that though.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. It is fun that he's still, you know, that like those little moments, and you want to be there for all of them, you know. That's why it's hard to go back to work, because I'm like, wait, but he could sit up on his own, or like he could start laughing, or he could do this, and I won't be there for it, you know. It is hard to leave him.
Yeah,
it's getting easier, you know. I think you just have to do it. You just have to like go away for an afternoon to be like, okay, it's not the end of the world. It's fine. Yeah. Plus he's usually with like my mom or my sister who look exactly like me. So I'm like, oh, at least he'll always remember what I look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll think of them.
Yeah. That's good that you have like help like that too. And it's like people you trust and not just like a stranger you're, you know, bringing in to help you.
Yeah. We're like, really lucky. We have a lot of, all of our families nearby, his mom, my mom, my sisters. So we're really lucky to usually have him be with family.
Yeah, when
he needs me.
That like, trust. I feel like it's so much easier. Like I feel such an ease whenever I, you know, my husband and I, if we, you know, go to like a concert or something, and knowing that my son is like with my mother-in-law, you know, there's like an ease that I think I wouldn't have if he was with just like a babysitter.
Yeah,
like, you know. It I give really credit to parents that still go out and they have their babysitters. I just have like trust issues.
Yeah. So. I also think that it's nice to know that, you know, my mom does things really similarly to how I would do things. Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel better too, is that I know she would do what I would do in the situation, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have definitely taken a lot of your time.
Oh, no worries. It was so fun.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed talking to you, and Josh too. I know he like had to go, but tell him thank you again for me. And
of course, I will.
I would love to have you guys back on sometime. And
yeah, we would love
this
to.
This was really fun. It was really
thank
great.
Thank you
talking
so much for
you.
Having us on. And
no, yeah, thank you for coming on and for letting me and, you know, my listeners into your lives a little bit more.
Oh, of course. Anytime. Well, happy to come back.
And if you want to let my listeners know where they can find you on social media, you can speak for Josh too.
You can find me on Instagram at Paige O'Brien with two N's. And Josh is at Shua Peck. On Instagram.
Okay. Awesome. We'll stay updated on all these projects you guys are working on.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll definitely keep you posted.
All right. Have fun with Stunky.
I will. Tell Bob and say hi.
I will.
Okay.
All right.
Talk soon. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to download and subscribe on radio.com, the new radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to your favorite shows. Tune in next Thursday. Cameron says it's time for me to go.
Bye.